So is this when we get to talk about Satan?
Yeah, this is the part where we talk about Satan.
Okay.
And the great wonders of Satan.
He's a little overrated, I think.
But, he's a shoo-in for Devil of the Year, though.
I fall in for more obscure evil characters. Just, like, ones that don't mean, like, the end of the world. Ones that aren't as just in the mainstream as the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alex Jones.
Yeah.
The Minister. Okay.
Alex Jones is great, though.
He is. He's the best guy.
He's defending our rights.
Yeah, while bravely yelling at British people no one likes.
Yeah.
See, really want to know, devil. 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 See, really want to know how I freak it. Devil. Devil.
Oh my god, we made it.
We're here.
It's the end of 2012, you guys.
Yeah, it's 2012, you know?
Yeah.
It's like December or something when we usually do this. Merry Christmas.
I'm Matt McMillan.
The apocalypse.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm a guy.
Word. So, did you hear anything about Canada lately?
We have... Nope.
And scene. Welcome to the Matt McMillan Memorial 2012 Best Album of the Year podcast. I'm John, he's Andrew, also Steven.
Hi.
Hi. So... We're the worst.
Someone
All right, so today we're going to be doing the process of elimination shade. I don't know why I explained that. We only have, 10 readers, and they've been here for the whole time.
Yeah.
They know what's about to happen at this point.
I'll make somebody listen to this.
Okay, just like, no, you have to understand. I can't have wasted all this time. Say something, Andrew.
Oh. Hey.
You fall back asleep.
Yeah, we woke Andrew up for this.
Hey.
Because we're great humans.
And it's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
That's a perfect time to do this.
It's the best. Okay. We probably should explain why I'm so tired.
You just said it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. I thought that was a pretty good explanation.
No, there's more.
Oh, well, go for it.
Well, first of all, you wanted to say that we're going to do this at noon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you told all the East Coast people, hey, noon. 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 Not specific to PST. Might I add. And now it's 9 o'clock, which is 12 EST.
I did apologize.
Fuck you. I'm just kidding. It's okay. It really is fine.
All right. So Matt was supposed to be on here, but
he died.
A stage dude, and he got enrolled in stage duties. That was almost wordplay. So instead, what we're gonna do, because we have two writers absent, and I've just talk to Matt. I mean, in honor of Matt's final wishes, we are going to be... When we get down to the last two, we're going to have a top 10 from him and a top 10 from Matt. From Dan.
Dan
and
Matt.
We're going to use whatever they have ranked highest to determine... To help determine our album of the year. Yeah.
Great.
So let's get started. The albums nominated for Album of the Year are Swans, The Seer, Death Grips, The Money Store, Masita, The Coyote, Liars, Wish You, Converge, All We Love, We Leave Behind, Blackie, Jen, Hop Along, Get Disowned, Sharon Van Etten, Tramp, Scott Walker, Bish Bosh, Horrendous, The Chills, and Killer Mike Rap Music. And we're going to just start peeling one of these away at a time. Alright, so at 5:35, I'm gonna... Five something. I'm gonna... No, that's the edit point. So let's just open a text document and put that on there. 3:30 to 6. Edit things. Alright, 3, 2, 1. Who wants to start?
Me.
Okay. What does not... What is not the album of the year? Steven Tucker. Afar.net. And whatever that other site is.
Horrendous by The Chills.
Okay. The Chills by Horrendous.
No, what are you talking about?
The Horrendously Chilled by Blur the Stone Roses.
Sweet Chill Wave Metal.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to apologize to Metal Dan, because I tried to make sure this wouldn't happen, because I really like that album a lot, but there's no argument for it without him here. So
I also feel bad because I listened to all the metal albums at once. I mean, but like in a row.
Yeah, that's not my problem,
though. I've
been
tapered off my metal all year.
Yeah.
Weird.
And hey, if you think that was a lot, to make the metal category, Dan had me go through his top 6, 7, and I listened to all of those in, like, 2 days. So,
jeez.
We have different tastes. And also, you're a whiny quitter, and also Horrendous is out.
Well, controversial.
Okay. I'll go next. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, fuck off.
I don't think Bish Boss is the album of the year.
Okay, this is where I'm going to fight.
All right, go for it.
Just because I have to.
Bish Boss's Last Stand, do it.
When I was first introduced to that record, I had no prior experience with the music of Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. The way things went, he just seemed like an interesting art rock artist that, you know, has always been doing this weird shit all the time, and that's how it went. Kind of looking back into his older stuff, it starts to make a lot of sense.
Right.
And, but not the stories in the album. Like, he actually goes back into a lot of his older material, and he's talking about, like, fucking dictators and weird events like that, but in a very, like, unspecific sort of term. But on Bish Bosh, he basically made a weird anti-history book.
Right.
Where everything he is saying and switching off, he is creating political commentary over things that aren't relevant anymore. But in a strange way have this weird looming sense that we should find them relevant because of the way he's presenting them.
Mm-hmm.
And in a story-like sense, he made an anti-history book that you need to actually delve in and work to actually understand and enjoy. Like, this isn't an album that you're going to, like... It's a good thing we waited this long to at least,
right,
like, try
yeah,
and
because,
cut it out.
Yeah, because, like, if we did this closer to the release, it would be
this,
snapped
yeah,
out of here.
It came out in December. Well, I mean, like, I would have a harder time defending it, I think.
Right.
I still would have liked it about the same. Mm-hmm. That album is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It is a daunting, like, amount of time to hear. Like, it's long. There is a 21-minute song with completely different phases where he has, like, two voices screaming, boy do this to his own mother. It's just it's all a bunch of lyrical quips that you're supposed to pick out and pinpoint. And I don't think anybody can base such a weird way to make music on, like Scott Walker can, where he's just thrusting his weird lyrics, and that's how the way that's how the music is controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And right. That's my defense.
Okay, Tucker, you got anything?
I like it, but I wouldn't. I would be okay with it being gone.
All right. So here's why I'm pulling it. It's not as simple as just like, oh, this was hard to listen to, derp, because I listened to Aaron Dilloway on purpose for fun. So that's not quite the answer. My concern with Bish Boss is that it's not... It's, well, like, your statement about it being this alternate history book is interesting, because that's kind of the thing I have against it, against calling it the best album of the year, is that anything that it's doing, like, effectively, I don't think it has anything to do with the music. It's the storytelling, and it's the pacing of it, but the actual qualities of the songs, I'm not feeling to a degree that I would be comfortable having it in the conversation.
Well, I mean, like, the best track, I think, on that record is Zircon, Flagpole Sitter, so...
And, like, 10 minutes of that is probably silence, if you went in and added it all up.
Well, that's and kind it's of effective, the, well, that's the point of the song. It's I mean, I'm one of those guys, like, my favorite director is probably David Lynch, and the way he controls music in his films is a very interesting way. Just, I really like cinema in music, a lot of times, which is why I think, that album had such a huge effect on me, and I think Scott Walker has the same respect with film as I do. So that might be a niche thing. I'll accept that.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a niche thing.
Yeah, my weird art film sort of thing that I enjoy is full force with Bish Bosh. I think that's a requirement if you're gonna really latch onto that record, is some form of like I love cinema or storytelling, or like this weird way of telling soundscapes, like just being able to construct them in a way that he did, which is fucking bananas. I don't know how anyone can get away with doing that, but Scott Walker.
Right. I suppose that's fair. It is definitely an interesting approach. I just don't know, like, what it does for me other than really confuse me on the listen. And that's valuable in its way, but...
My issue, I think, is, like, I don't think it means anything to me.
Oh, so like, you're the pitchfork.
Weird stuff, but I don't get a message out of it.
I'm gonna just bag on you. You're totally the pitchfork review of this album. There are things that mean, like, I can probably tell you specifically things that
mean. Yeah, see, that's what surprised me with your description.
Yeah. Well, the thing that stuck out is that it is definitely reliant on having the lyrics nearby, because there's no way, unless you have perfect auditory memory, that you're going to get everything said in a song on the first listen. So it turns it into this task of, like, waiting song by song and analyzing that and seeing what you can get out of it, or if you want to go deeper and move on.
Right.
Or if you want to just, like, okay, this is about butts, fine, and move on to the next song.
I think my first listen of that record was also especially telling. It was the thing that made me go, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, I needed to know what he was talking about. Like, I had that immediate thirst, and I don't know about you guys' first listens. Maybe that'll paint a picture of, like, the way you enjoy the rest of the record is from that first listen. Even though you need that, like, to keep going on to it to fully understand it, I think you need that hit in the face the first time.
Right.
I feel like I'm not giving it enough credit just by not doing that or going into it, because I've listened to it a couple times, even, and it's one of my favorites of the year. I just don't...
I think it's one of the records, though, that I can't knock anyone for, like, not understanding, because I'm a crazy person when it comes to, like, like, narrowing down like what something means in, like, the strangest way. In that Pitchfork review where basically it says, well, what if it just means nothing, like, really fucking angered me. But, yeah.
Well, it's deliberate to a point that it can't mean nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, did you not hear, like, the weird, like, cut-to thing, like, lines in Zircon, a Flagpole Sitter? There, he's, like, describing scene changes. It's very much it's a movie. Like,
well,
it's basically
it
might have
been
weird.
Too much for, I don't know. I'm dumb. I'm a stupid person. You're right.
Well, I'm pretty stupid too. Like, I didn't get a lot of I didn't understand a lot of what Michael Gere was doing.
But
on
at the same time, like, I'm wondering, like, how much of the experience you have with that record is reliant on reading through the lyrics. Because if you're focused on, like, reading through the lyrics and deriving something from that, you're not really paying attention to the music, which might, mind is the point.
Which, so, well, it's like I didn't have the lyrics for, like, basically all of my time listening to that album.
Right. Well, yeah, but it's because you're in the press. Mm-hmm.
Well, they could have given us lyrics, but, whatever. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we've had enough of a conversation about it. We'll come back to this. See if there's something else we can get rid of before this.
Okay.
Andrew, it's your turn.
Feel really bad about this, especially since the thing I've been listening to, I'll just admit, it's 2013, and I have been listening to a lot of 2013 music.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a contemporary of this artist this year, and I think it hit me a lot, even a lot more than this record was Sharon Van Etten's.
Mm-hmm.
Been listening. I don't want to compare it to 2013 because that hasn't happened yet, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Which is 2012 right now. It's December. It's snow, eggnog, all that.
I can't remember a lot of that album, and I go back to it. Like, maybe every couple months, a few months.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I try a lot with that record, because I really, really want to, and I really like it. I just, mm-hmm. does not soak into me the way that, Epic did. Like, just the movements were, I think there's a little too much in there. I think there's a little too much music.
Well, it's like a hallmark of national production, of Dessner production.
Yeah, and the production on some of that stuff is just incredible. Like, Serpents, and then Leonard's... Leonard mm-hmm. was something that had, like, was like, oh, this is not the way I'm used to hearing Sharon Van Etten.
I guess the counterpoint here would be... Well,
there's not enough.
But the perspective on this is... This is basically the same reasoning I gave for getting rid of Andrew Jackson Jihad last year, where too much of it just doesn't sink in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, there. If it was, honestly, if it was the size of Epic, it probably could have done some good. I just forget pretty much the most of the middle half of that album. I forget.
All right,
or like the middle portion of it.
So that's it for Sharon Van Etten. Tucker, do you have?
I'm pretty much anything? The same as him. I like Epic better. Really, like, I listened to it at like 1 a.m.
well,
today.
Yeah, absolutely. Epic is an amazing record. I don't think anyone's.
And I think otherwise. there was some fat that could have been trimmed there.
Yeah. Yeah. Alright, well, that's it for Van Etten. So the first two out are personal choices. This was a great idea.
for
people that aren't here to defend their personal choices. So a flaw in the system.
Whiny quitter now.
Alright, it's my turn, right? Okay.
Tough.
I'm going to say Liars.
Steven?
Here is my reason. I love that record, and I love Liars. But I think the things you take from that record are too dependent from having experience with the rest of their catalog. Because I actually had this conversation with my older brother a lot this year, and he spent his high school years with dance music and techno and all that, and he didn't get anything out of Wizzu, and it's because, like, it's all stuff that he's familiar with. It's all, like, tricks that he's heard, with, like, a couple exceptions. Of, like, Ill Valley Prodigies and such. But, like, for the most part, the larger electronic stuff isn't really pushing anything forward, which led me to think, like, well, he hasn't sat down with those other 5 records and played them to death. And I don't know that I'm comfortable with an album that needs that much prerequisite work to be good as being the album of the year.
Right.
Which is, I think, I ended up reviewing that album, and I think I the reason why I didn't push for, like, this is just some weird thing about beats per minute. I didn't push for the recommended score because I think I was talking about it with, like, several people from the site, and they were just saying, like, I don't know, I just don't feel like it does anything different. Because I feel like a lot of these people are coming from those dance-specific backgrounds, like Dave did. Hadn't, I mean, like, to be fair, I mean, just to listen to one single artist, like, in the music world and be expected to know everything about them is kind of fair.
Yeah.
Like, it's liars. I mean, if you go back to their back catalog, it's difficult. It's not something you're going to understand right off the bat. Like,
and it's not like this is a good entry point either.
And
like,
I love
if you
this,
listen to
this
and then, like, pick an album out of a hat, you're probably not going to have a great time.
Because of the background of me going back to all this liar stuff and hearing what Wish U has to offer, it's an incredible look at how far they've gone and, like, what they want to do. Because, like, what they want to do is something completely fucking different every time. So, who even knows what... This isn't even a progression. This is just a state.
Yeah. It's inspiring. I just don't know that it's album of the year.
Right, yeah. They listened to a bunch of fucking Warp Electronic stuff and had to do...
Well, they had the guy there.
And it's... But the thing is that the record on the surface of itself, if you're, like, going to the meaning of it and what's going on, it's like... It's a palindrome where each of these tracks kind of mirror each other in progression through the song, and I think they're trying to make a statement about the structure of dance tracks, because a lot of them don't go in crazy directions. They kind of stay in their same static environment, but then they build up on the next song.
But I don't think that's... I don't know that I believe that, because of the reverence they spoke for... Well, then again, why am I arguing with you? You also think it should not be here.
I don't think it should be here because of that one reason. I'm just saying why I think it, why it has a reason to stay, or why it's on this list. But otherwise, I think it requires a lot of background.
I don't think the deal with dance music can really be a thing, because they don't listen to anything when they make their albums. Like, they just avoid everything.
Yeah, and if they were gonna, like, criticize dance music, I really doubt they would have gone to the extent to get Daniel Miller involved.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that would be a dude who's not interested in the criticism of dance music.
Yeah, which, I don't know, all this stuff makes me question why it won Best Electronic, but that's a whole other thing.
We covered that in the article.
Oh, okay.
It won because of how we did our scoring thing. I still think it deserves to win. I think the argument for it's there. I just don't think the argument for it as album of the year is there.
Okay. That's really it. I think it wins Best Electronic. I'm totally all supportive of that because of...
Bye, Wish U.
Bye-bye.
Wish you could have stayed longer.
I'm dying. I am Husk.
Who wants to go next?
I'm trying to come up with a reason to take this one off, because it's, like, the next most obvious one.
Right.
And that's Converge. Unfortunately for that record, it's regardless of it being an amazing metal record, it stands on its own as the one reason to listen to metalcore.
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah, like, I was doing a lot of thinking about this, and it is... The album that it is most similar to out of the stuff that's left is The Seer. And the reason I draw that line is that it's this masterwork in this specific style of music. And it's hard to, like, fuck with its merits in that way. It's incredibly well-produced. It's incredibly well-thought-out. But it's... still metalcore.
and I don't want to make it a knock on the genre. It's just really, there are just a lot of strange differences, like, with like that genre has a dirty history, like a really fucked history.
And as far as the music has come, and as far as Converge has come, I still don't think their lyrical content is there.
Yeah, I mean, they managed to basically make a genre listenable and, like, actually awesome to hear. Mm-hmm. But they're just because they're the only ones that can do it, I think that's the reason why we have it winning in the metal category, is right. because it's such an achievement in metal.
Mm-hmm.
Or metalcore specifically, too.
Yeah.
I think this next year, I know I'll make an effort just to listen to more metal, and so we won't have it as subsectioned as we do.
Right. Well, it was originally in rock, because I guess that category wasn't hard enough.
Right.
Yeah, then we invented metal.
And
we invented it.
At a point, we just, came to the realization that we have enough metal albums that we were crazy about, that we should probably have a category. And I still want to go forward with having the category, but, yeah, I don't see it as Album of the Year either, I guess.
Well, yeah, having that category, but, having... I don't know. Just focus more on it, I think.
Right,
we can do better on.
Yeah.
I love this album, though.
Locrian and Mammifer in here instead of... instead of Converge and watch Dan's head explode.
Yeah.
Or if anyone listened to it, I don't think anyone's gotten around to it yet, but there was an album released super late in the last year called Occult Rock by Alec Tadolo.
Yeah.
And it's this weird, it's like all these long pieces of music where mm-hmm. they're just building up these weird versions of psych black metal, and they actually, it's not cheesy or weird. Mm-hmm. It's not prog, but it's loud. It's hard to describe that album. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Wish it could have been in this category, but that's the way it goes.
Right. All right. Well, that's everything seemingly obvious out of here. I guess we want to go back and, now can we get rid of Scott Walker? Are you good?
No.
Okay.
But you guys aren't going to give in, so. If it's two against one, so.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
I feel a little bad, but also not.
Yeah. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Hashtag Red Dawn. All right. I'm going to start a fight today.
Woo!
Killer Mike.
Oh, no!
Oh, shit.
I don't think the ending half is good enough.
You're wrong.
Okay.
Because some of the best tracks on it are that.
But not at all!
Willie Burke Sherwood?
No. Anywhere But Here's alright, but, I don't... The first half of the record, Anywhere But Here to the... So, alright, so I guess I'm really bitching about the last two songs on there.
Okay.
I guess... I just don't think that the... It has such momentum going into the close, and I think it squanders it.
You don't like that beat, though? On the last one?
I like the beat, but the lyrics aren't there. It's total victory lap shit, and you'll notice that Kendrick Lamar isn't here either.
Right.
So, I don't know, man.
Absurd,
I don't know.
Kinda.
Andrew?
My opinions on rap music are sort of just holy shit, that record starts out the gate with a fucking bang. I don't know how... to be fair to Killer Mike, he mm-hmm. starts out with that album with Pow Motherfucker Pow, and then...
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah, I'm not shitting on that record. Untitled to Ghetto Gospel is amazing.
Yeah, that is.
I just think it starts taking slight steps down, and then it closes kind of.
I like.
Do you think it gets just too didactic, almost?
See, that's a problem. Again, not to bring Dave back into this, but that's a problem he had with it, because it felt like it was his complaint was that it felt like the same song after a while, and I. Don't really see that. Just my problem is it's too long. The energy is so high throughout the whole of it that it just wears me out, and the last two songs just fly right out of my head and I just do something else.
I think those are rap music is one of the most higher energy ones on the whole thing, but I guess at that point you've just tuned out.
Yeah, it's already lost me. I don't know where exactly that happens, but yeah, I just don't think the ending of that album is good enough to hang in the conversation. It's a great album. I love lots of things about it. I just don't think if we're going to say this is the best album of 2012, I just don't feel comfortable with that flaw there.
What you're saying with it being, like, victory lap shit, like...
Yeah.
That makes it... Because it's like he's... It's premature, almost, it seems.
Right.
Like, he just gets done saying what he needs to say, and then he's like, yeah, I've done it.
Right.
Here's the thing, me talking about kind of the same thing, but, like, here we go, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it really is. I agree that there's... The end kind of drops off.
Mm-hmm. So are we gonna get rid of it, or are we gonna...
I'll let it go.
All right.
That's shitty. Ha ha ha. Spike.
Okay. What's it gonna take for us to put a rap album as the best album of the year?
Death Grips came the closest last year.
Yeah.
Death Grips came really close last year.
Like, it was like the second to last.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hilarious, because I don't think anyone is that wrong in saying the Money Store is a better record.
Which is funny. We'll see how this goes.
Okay. So we have five left. We have the Seer, we have the Money Store, the Coyote, we have Jen, and we have Hop Along. And now that I've said Hop Along, who wants to take the first shot at Hop Along?
Well, personally, I don't have too much to, like, knock it for. Like, it doesn't do anything that sort of gets me, like just furious.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a very, you find it to be a very confrontational record, right?
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. There are times where it tapers off of its confrontation that I don't think, it's like the Killer Mike thing a little bit, where... they go really hard for a while, and then it kind of drops off. But in the way, it's different in a way for Hop Along, where they go hard for a little bit, then it kind of drops off, and then they go hard again, and then mm-hmm. drops off. It's sort of just like a roller coaster.
Right.
And I think the lyrical content is stunning,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how I can call it album of the year with these other, just in comparison. So, like, it's these other albums that are kind of sitting there.
All right.
I suppose that's all fair. But that's, like, sort of my one real... Like, it's hard to articulate exactly why it doesn't deserve Album of the Year, and I think that's why in the last five here it starts getting really difficult to knock things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a matter of, like, it can't really hang with this crowd right now.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you, Tucker?
I love that album, but I also... Another thing I loved is Killer Mike, so...
Okay. And we all have to let go of...
So basically what you're saying is, fuck you, all our personal choices are dead to us?
Yeah. If you need me, I'm going to be rocking back and forth on the floor saying, Meteor, make me young, over and over again.
God, this is like pooping out a trophy.
Yeah, see? It's the best, isn't it?
That's probably the best way of describing this situation.
Especially now that we're down to the last four.
Did we strike out Van Etten?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was like the second one.
Alright. Alright.
So here we go.
Bye, Masita.
Fuck you!
Fuck off! Man...
I don't think it's that goddamn easy.
I don't know.
These are, like, the hardest ones. Like, we have gotten to, like, within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
This
is somehow the shortest of these that we've done.
Yeah, because we got rid of the bulk and we just cut to the chase.
Yeah. All right. Tucker, do you see anything on there?
I'm too scared right now.
Because I have a direction I could go in.
You're going to say the Money Store, and I'm going to, like, hit you.
I'm going to say the Money Store.
And I'm going to hit you.
I want to, like, not knock it, but that's the one I would do, but I don't want to, like... Because this is what happened last year. It's like, I knocked off Death Grips, and then it came back to the discussion. I was like, holy shit, what the fuck was I not... What
song then, do you not like on the Money Store?
Let's talk about it.
Fuck that.
I like that song.
Okay.
Great music talk. Good podcast, guys.
I think the right, simple line on Fuck That
good
is
night,
so
everybody.
Worth it.
No,
the simple line on Fuck That is so worth it.
I feel weird about Fuck That, though, because it is totally the best preparation for No Love Deep Web that we could have gotten.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
But I... okay,
do you
we'll
like New
Lo-
No Love Deep Web better?
I think Bitch Please actually kind of does a better job at that, but
yeah.
Bitch Please
I like
amazing.
Parts of No Love Deep Web better. I don't think it's a better record, like, as a whole. If that makes sense. Like, I think there's too many things on there that are a little too weird.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I think it... Things... There are tracks in there that work within the album that, out of context, you're kind of like, what...
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that was the direction. I think it just didn't do the weirdness well enough for
well,
it to like.
It
really
does in the first half. Like that album starts
oh, yeah.
with a fucking bomb, and
right.
like around Whammy, it just starts veering into this direction that I have no understanding
well,
of what they're trying to do.
I think the reason why I like Stockton is because like I have this weird locational reference.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
but
like
we're not arguing for No Love Deep Web. We're arguing for the Money Store.
Okay. Oh wait, that's not. Yeah, that's right. Well,
I think the Money Store is the best representation of Death Grips that we have. Just like the most solid, thing of piece of music.
Death Grips completely accurate.
Yeah,
all in the Money Store.
You know, okay, I'm gonna bring this up. I'm gonna blow this guy's spot up. This guy named Ash, who is a friend of mine at this point. I feel like I can say that. He's a Canadian English major, and we have, like, really long discussions about Death Grips because he's so much into analytical literature and all that, and
right.
I'm trying to convey that Death Grips is, like, the dystopic science fiction nightmare that it is. And so, yeah, The Money Store is totally the best album to do that with. Ugh. I can't get rid of The Money Store that easy.
Yeah, we can't do this. Let's just, okay, I think the way we go about this now is start talking about these albums without having risk of just leaving them out.
Okay.
So, do you guys want to talk about Jen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I love Jen so goddamn much.
No fucking
much.
Shit. It's a great record.
Oh, I love that record.
So how do we judge it? Because I want to know, because it leaves out a lot of the instrumentals on the original LP.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the LP, because I don't have a record player.
Well, yeah.
We're judging the MP3. Like, are we really going to start, like, picking this particular net? It's like, yeah,
no,
we're judging... Like,
no.
If we're talking
that
about the vinyl
be,
version
was,
of the Seer,
was...
then yeah, it's not as good of an album. But the vinyl version of the Seer was tracked by crazy people, so...
Yeah, that's why I have the deluxe CD, so...
Yeah.
The vinyl thing was
great.
Different.
Yeah, let me. I have it right down
it's
here.
So it's
that's
super
wrong.
Weird.
You shouldn't.
It's
do
really
that.
Weird. That's why I did hilarious. Not get the vinyl. Because
it's like three vinyls, right?
That's
so
weird because they like there's video that they did package that themselves. You'd think that.
Yeah.
I don't know
so
why.
So here
they did
is
the
vinyl
they
track list. Side one is Lunacy, The Apostate Part One. Side two is The Apostate Part Two, and A Piece of the Sky Part One. 9 minutes, which indicates it's the fire and vocal stuff. Side three is A Piece of the Sky Part Two, 93 Avenue B Blues, and The Daughter Brings the Water, and Song for a Warrior, all on one side. Side four is Mother of the World and Avatar. Side five is The Wolf and the Seer Part One, and side six is The Seer Part Two and The Seer Returns.
Yeah, that's no good.
It's really strange.
So, yeah, But, like, the vinyl's not good enough is not a good reason to disqualify this.
I'm not saying the vinyl's not good enough. I'm just asking which one we're judging.
The MP3.
Okay.
That's the one I heard.
I'm going to tell the story on the podcast, because we haven't done this, because we don't do this podcast very much, of the first listen that we had.
Oh, yeah. This is actually probably one of the most... Yeah. This is a... We don't really ever listen to records, like, continuously at the same time.
Right.
And we were doing this around over Facebook chat,
mm-hmm.
and basically describing from the moment the album started.
Yeah, because, like, the start of that record sounds like a Blackie record. It's really loud, it's really sharp, electronic, it's very powerful, and then the piano comes in, and it is the most disorienting thing for, like, where Blackie comes from and for what his sound does, like, he made the craziest fucking record in the world. It's, oh, I could talk about Jen for hours. I love that record. I love that goddamn record.
See, what I'm trying to go along with talking about it is because I think it, I totally agree, and I think it is album of the year capable.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Well, that's with everything right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to disqualify it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say that, like, some of that stuff might be, like, context similar. Like, you talk about, like, what Blackie was doing before and
right.
what you expected going into it. And also, mm-hmm. like, the general recognition that this album has had, which is to say, like, zero.
Right.
I wrote a review for it on Beast Per Minute.
This is album of the year.
Right. I see your point there, but I think it stands on its own without needing to have gone into his older stuff.
Yeah, I know that, like, from experience. Right. Because I listened to it.
Yeah. And then you try to go listen to his other things.
I was aware of what Blackie
is.
Yeah.
You have to be aware of what Blackie is.
Lou Dobbs on my knob.
Oh, I love that dude.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But, yeah, I feel really strongly for Jen. All right, let's talk about the Seer.
God damn, it's so hard to talk any mess about that album.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, I guess we'll have to disqualify it. That
let's talk about
fire
how much we
part
love
was
it.
4 seconds too long.
Yeah.
Let's get fucking passionate here.
All right.
So, from the moment that album starts, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even think you need this needs any context from what Swans is.
Right.
Like, that is maybe the least context-sensitive record left in this category.
Right.
Where basically you're just thrusted into this world where, oh, this is what their vision of rock and roll is now, or what they believe they can do with it. And so, like, the first drum hits of Lunacy accompanied with the guitar is just like, this is what you're in for.
Right.
And this is what you're going to be in for the rest of the record. Mm-hmm. They find a steady palette of sounds to make everything sound completely, like, just, it's different, but it all sounds really consistent.
Right.
Like you can go from a track like The Wolf, which is just mm-hmm. acoustic guitar and Michael Gira.
And found sound.
And then fucking 93 Avenue B Blues.
The thing that's crazy about The Seer, among many things that are crazy about The Seer, is that it's this complete survey of American music in its way. Like, it leaves out rap because he's a white guy and he knows better. But it is such a complete, like, picture of the history of rock and traditional musics of the American continent, from, like, the tribal nature of the Apostate and the Seer, to the blues of what is the song I'm thinking of? I kind of view The Seer Returns as a blues song, because it's just this.
Yeah,
kind of
oh yeah,
stomp.
That is a blues. That is like a basically like an R&B mm-hmm. track, actually.
Yeah,
I like it is a terrifying R&B track.
Yeah.
Terrifying early 60s R&B track.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, straight out the gate, like,
mm-hmm.
intro music of an album. Like, this is, Lunacy is fucking perfect, because, like, well, I mean, it's, as far as, like, what's the album cover, and it's like a guy, it's like the teeth and the human teeth and the wolf, cause like
right
like
we're the animal, is that
from,
what he's trying,
like,
are you trying to say is that we're the animals,
we're going crazy because of the moon and werewolves and stuff,
right
we're the animals.
Well, that's been like a hallmark of Michael Gira's work for a while,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, right. that's an existence, is that we're all fucking feral,
yeah, that hell is humanity.
Right,
and that's and he says that's okay.
Yeah,
yeah, and you just kind of come to terms with it, like, yeah, just kind of kill us, God, just do it.
Yeah.
Fuck the Don.
Yeah. Oh god. If I could give album of the year to just a piece of the sky, I would do it.
God, just I think every song is a payoff on this record.
Yeah. Where yeah, it's no, just it's like, it's all like masterwork composition for sure.
Man, I just like don't know like what a better album is. Like it's I don't know. It's weird, right. But at the same time there are these achievements that are next to this year in this category. Right. Like I think that's a good time to start talking about Mesita.
Right.
Mesita I think is really great. But it's beside these like giants, like these huge lumbering beasts.
But I think that's the point.
It's true.
It is next to
these
giants.
Yeah, it's true. But it's the underdog, in a way.
Someone who has no label. Someone who doesn't want a label.
I'm just saying like where I'm coming from. Like this is a
right.
As far as like if we're thinking about like animals or whatever, it's like a little cat, which cats are cool. But it's right next to like an elephant and a hippo and.
This is like a children's book where the cat does this crazy shit and saves the day.
Yeah,
like
this is the craziest cat in the history of the world.
You're saying it's Stripes the super cat.
Yeah, sure.
It's definitely not Garfield.
I don't know what you're referencing because I'm old.
If anyone's Garfield, it's merchandise.
Merchandise is the Garfield of punk rock.
What are we even saying anymore?
I'm totally on board if we want to just fuck over merchandise while we're doing
this. Dude, I like merchandise, but I only said that they're Garfield because a lot of their music and styling is lethargic.
Yeah. Also, they're bad. And they're never good.
Meh. I don't know. They're getting to the point where they're louder, so hopefully that'll work out.
They're going to have to get a lot louder to get my attention again.
Oh, I'll see them. Oh, maybe the energy is different. I've heard that basically the reason how people in the site have gotten, or Beastmen have gotten latched onto merchandise is because they're live performances.
Okay.
So maybe that'll be it. Anyway, not merchandise. This is Coyote.
The Coyote. I totally think the Coyote belongs. Because as far as what these albums deal with, I think Mesita has the best handle on modern existence. And considering context of his earlier work, like Here's to Nowhere is great, but like it's got the most perfect album art that you could have, which is just a bunch of random clouds.
Right.
And the Coyote is this, it is every anxiety of moving out and trying to understand your own goddamn earth that I resonated really strongly with that record. Once I got the full thing. And the other thing that's crazy about that record is how many damn singles he put out for it.
Yeah.
Like, he put out half that record before it was even out.
And it still was just this giant... But basically all the songs ended up being reproduced in the end.
Right, yeah.
Which William Cannon sounds 10 times more heavy.
Well, no, William Cannon wasn't one of the singles.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking about Onward Upward, my bad.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a Kanye West thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Mesita
is... So what I'm saying
is,
Mesita is Kanye West, but less crazy.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make that comparison, like, wholly. In that specific instance.
I will actually...
Yeah.
I'll make this strange comparison now that you brought up Kanye West.
All right.
It's kind of like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in the way that it's telling its message. Like, the way that it's describing this persona and the situation of this person.
Like the part where he brought on Nicki Minaj?
That was my favorite
song in The Coyote.
No, it's an interesting record to be like, hey, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is one of the most expensive albums to be, like, ever be made.
Right.
And The Coyote is made by a dude in his bedroom.
Yeah, the achievement of The Coyote is that that's one guy doing that.
Everything. I have talked to this guy. His email account directs directly to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's this record. Yeah. And
he's like the nicest dude. Like, every record I've bought from him, and I've bought every record he has available to buy, he's like, when he sends it, there's like a little thank you note with the record.
Yeah, no, so I bought the CD, too. Yeah. I got that. And I've tweeted at him a couple
on
times.
His shoulders. And the fact that we have an artist that is that good, who is that together, and just, operating outside of the normal mechanisms of the music industry, I don't think it's that easy to discount what he's done.
The Coyote is probably the most honest, like, personally honest record here.
Hey, you stop shitting on Blackie like that.
Oh, wait, but... I'm a white boy. I'm sorry.
Dude, it doesn't matter. Like, this is... So, I have this conversation a lot with... Because, like, all of my friends down here are white, so I'm the only guy I know down here that likes rap. So...
Oh, well, that's weird.
It's kind of awful, in a way.
I don't know. My comment about being white was that I just know nothing.
Yeah, but, like... Okay, so the thing is, like, with the language of rap music, it's just... The point is that, like, you don't have to be that guy to listen to it. It's just poetry.
If I want to oversimplify these and make them sound worse than they really are, Blackie is the hardcore, like, Oscar drama.
Yeah.
Like, Oscar-worthy drama, and the Coyote is that cutesy little indie drama.
Right, yeah. Blackie is the foreign film where everyone dies.
Yeah. It is, yeah. That's, I mean, if I had to make weird film comparisons, that's the way I go.
How about Death Grips, though?
I want to go back to the philosophy thing, because if an album can get you talking that much about, like, a political thing, like, it has this weird mask that it puts on,
right,
where it's just like, oh, it's obnoxious rap music, this dude is just yelling into a mic, and there's weird synths blaring in the background, and mm-hmm. that's what it is, but, like, this is exactly what happened to me with, Ex-Military, like, the way it's a very similar to Ex-Military in the way it spawns that conversation,
right?
But I think it does a better job at it by appealing,
right?
Like, there is a stronger appeal on The Money Store than there is to like Ex-Military, because of Ex-Military is kind of all over the place,
right?
And there is kind of a consistent flow with The Money Store,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because that is the exact record that I wanted after Ex-Military,
yeah.
where everything was kind of all over the place, but there were these specific moments that I thought were just incredible, like Guillotine and Tachyon and
Over
the Game.
And The Money Store totally has those moments as well.
Yeah, I think all Death Grips records contain, have something like that in there.
They are deceptively good hook writers.
Yeah.
Like, as obnoxious as their music gets, they have some fucking earworms.
I mean... The Money Store, if you think about it in context, basically a pop album.
Right.
It's funny. Which I think we had a question about that.
Yeah, like, there's a weird point. It's like, do we still put Death Grips somewhere other than rap at this point?
Death Grips is...
I think because of I've Seen Footage.
Yeah.
I've Seen Footage and stuff like that. This is their rap record over, like...
Yeah. Like, they have a boom-bap song on here. It has to be a rap record. They have a good boom bap song.
They did really well with, like, trying to fuck up everything.
God damn it. Everything on all of
everything on here is so really good. I think we're going to have to get to a point where we're not.
With The Money Store, like,
mm-hmm.
the beats, the way that Death Grips does the beats and how that illustrates what they're about, basically.
Right.
Like, with Ex-Military, it was about the consumption of, like, just drugs or entertainment or whatever. And
right.
With No Love Deep Web, it's just like this, it's just his mind.
Yeah, it's just sexual assault all the time.
And it's just like that pounding at the beginning of Come Up and Get Me. It's just that's what is in his head all the time.
Right.
And The Money Store is like what it's like in... it's like the external version of that.
It's living in the world.
It's like you're getting all this sounds from all these different places. Like, they're just sampling, like, random YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Yeah. We gotta start getting rid of some albums here.
I know.
Like, this has to end. we just need to bust it down to two. And then we can...
God damn, that sounds like it's going to take like an hour.
I love Masita. But all these other ones I can listen to a billion times.
But that's the... What I've listened to, Masita, I've listened to that record probably more than all of these. I don't know.
Yeah, but I got
I think I am ready to let Masita go. And that sucks.
It does
really
suck.
Bad.
Because
I love that record.
He made the best pop record of this year.
I love it too. I feel bad for being the one to have to, who is, you know.
But it is again about these bad motherfuckers that are left.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like big boys always win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, just thinking about, like,
I got it.
Okay.
I heard you.
Just the moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big moments. Like, I don't think of, I mean, there are certain songs that I prefer over others in,
mm-hmm,
the Coyote, but I just don't think of any, like, big moments that, like, hit me as hard as any of the other ones on there.
Alright, I suppose that's, yeah. Alright.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Alright, so, The Seer, The Money Store, and Jen.
Jesus Christ.
This is exactly the thing we came to when we came down to three last year.
I think I kind of called the way this was going to end, but not the actual album, because I have no fucking clue what's going to go on here. All right. I think I feel like shit, but I have to do my part.
Uh-huh.
I think I would have to, like, in comparison with between The Money Store and Jen, there are two different albums, but this needs to be addressed in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The Money Store does a great job at being this, like, macro sensibility, like, here is what I'm seeing in society. It's so ambitious. But
right.
Then again, that makes Jen look 10 times more ambitious.
Right.
Because of that. Because of what... It's the one man being...
Yeah, it's...
I have very little... words when I'm listening to that record, it's just sort of captivation.
Right.
Like, when I listen to The Money Store, it's sort of just this experience of me going like, holy fuck, what guy does this? Like,
yeah.
Then again, when I go to Jen, what guy does this?
Right. I think there is something to say about the point of abstraction in Death Grips.
Yeah.
And, like, where...
It's very under the surface while, like, Jen leaves it sort of on the table.
Right. Yeah, and again, like, the effects of, like, MC Ride is an effective character. He's a terrifying human being, and he is over the exact kind of music that needs. But Jen is, Blackie is that guy. There's no artifice.
Without the internet. Like, he's that guy without the internet.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfair to say. I feel like there's a lot of just, like, you feel... It's easier to feel bad for, like, for the way Blackie presents himself than the way MC Ride does. He's sort of just, like, without remorse, at least on The Money Store. Like, when you kind of hear that when he's trying to mock himself on Come Up and Get Me on No Love Deep Web, but that's not a conversation.
Yeah,
the way The Money Store is presenting itself.
The glorification. The most...
I think The Money Store
that,
is...
That way
second.
Of all the three...
It is the deep second installment to a trilogy of albums that, like, tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Jen needs that kind of background to back it up.
Right.
Yeah. And these are all, like, these all just, like, achieve so much.
They are the best albums of 2012.
Yeah.
Don't get it fucked up. We're here. Yeah, The Money Store is totally the dark middle chapter of what Death Grips has done so far. Which is amazing considering No Love Deep Web. But, yeah, I think I can let The Money Store go.
Yeah, this is tough. Got to do some dirty work here.
I mean, this is like my favorite album of the year.
Mm.
Probably, Death Grips is so.
Right.
Which do you think, like, with the money store, are you, how do you feel empowered at all?
Yeah, I can.
With that record. Usually that happens when I'm in a car with someone. Like, it is amazing driving around music.
Like, when I've seen footage fucking comes on in my car, like, I lose it.
Yeah.
So.
And plus, like, I am one of the three people that got to see them do a Money Store dedicated show and remembers it.
Right.
So, yeah, I.
Well, like, what I'm trying to make is, like, Death Grips' empowerment is, like, you're not on. It's entirely about the music, because you're not on that guy's side, really.
Mm hmm.
Like, I guess constructively, the music is so much better
on the Money Store. Right. The music itself is a lot better on the Money Store.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone's gonna...
So, I don't know, fuck.
Yeah, we're talking about music.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, we're talking about the actual musicianship, and this is the thing that kind of breaks this whole thing down. The musicianship on Jen is good enough for what it's trying to do.
I mean, yeah, but whistles, man.
Yeah.
Whistles. He put whistles on it.
Yeah. It's just the second, like, that low note hits in False Marriages. It's gut-rending. It's just, oh, god damn it, I love that record.
I also don't want to treat this as it's some sort of, like, whatever gets the most, like, oh, fuck, man, yeah, yeah. My life. Yeah, I don't want to have that be the album of the year reaction that we rely on.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of maybe even what is the most inspiring or awe-inspiring. See, for Death Grips, for me, is a weird case, especially since this might hit me in a way, like, I don't know, a lot. They're not really a local band. They're not one of those guys you go like, oh, they sound so Sacramento.
Yeah.
But they actually do.
Yeah.
And I can tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento has one of the highest rates of suicide in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento has the highest rate of prostitution in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really fucked political shit over here.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Money Store is speaking to.
Yeah. Is the corruption of systems and how it kills human beings.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, the idea is, like, that the MC Ride has been made the way he has by the systems above him, by the internet and by poverty and city life.
Which is way more modern. I feel like
tears humanity away bit by bit.
Jen's a little more timeless in the way that it works, because that's a story that goes that could probably happen to pretty much anyone at this point.
Yeah.
Like, that's a universal story through times. Right. But, like, the Money Store describes what's going
on
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because of Death Grips,
I'm guessing there's no willingness to get rid of the Seer at this point.
I can't, there's no thing I can say that's bad about it.
Okay, fair point.
I just wanted
to make sure before we move forward.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I disagree, like, in a conceptual or philosophical level,
I can't even disagree. I think the Seer does a really great job at discussing, like, the idea of what modern is and what the idea of the past is. Like, it reflects both. Pretty goddamn well.
So the Seer has to stay.
Yeah.
So we're back to the Money Store versus Jen.
Which is shitty the way it has to go. Because.
Do we really have to pick between those? Can we just pick Seer?
I was hoping it would be between Masita and Jen, because that's a less stylistically, like, bothersome argument. Like, because now we're comparing the two contemporaries where they're constantly being compared all the time, and it's irritating.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, especially to Blackie. Don't ask him about that.
Yeah.
Don't talk to him about Death Grips. See, I was going to interview him and never say the word death.
Yeah.
Or grips.
Yeah.
Or grapes.
Like, what's
or
the alternative?
Dead.
Like, it's like, what's the alternative? You're going to fuck
or
with Blackie
money.
With his face?
Or
you stupid?
Store.
Yeah.
Or about being in the military and not loving. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I have to say some of those words because.
Yeah.
About being in the military.
I still feel that Jen is the better record.
Why so?
Okay, so the Money Store, for all of its qualities, for all of the things it gets right, it has never really caused personal examination in me, like Jen does, and like how Jen progresses. Because when Jen starts, you think he's lost it, and when it ends, you think you... Well, this was true for me. I don't know if this was true
this
for you.
Is, dude,
but by the time
I'm
Jen was over,
sure
I thought that I had lost it. Like, that I was the one who was living in complete madness and nonsense. Like, because it starts with just this, like, complete abstraction of just rage at media in its most base terms. And then it just moves from this simple place, and it just gets deeper and deeper, and the compositions get deeper, and the music gets more structured and more elaborate, and then the selfishness of evil men is...
This is weird, because I think we all three of these mm-hmm. are our albums of the year, like, yeah. individually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a problem right now.
Kind of doing it.
The thing, my toughest thing is, like, I could probably argue between this year and anything else, but mm-hmm. the Money Store and Jen, like, they're such weird things that I've had to battle all year.
So my dad just walked in here and asked if I wanted to go eat hot wings. I seriously considered just bailing.
I was like, yeah, my work's done. You guys, good luck. with what you're doing here.
I think, well, ultimately, I guess Jen is more... It's empowering in a different way.
Yeah, it's a yeah. personal parable.
Right.
It's not like... It doesn't feel... So this
it
is
takes
like,
its time.
I guess a problem I'm starting to have with Death Grips is it's starting to feel somewhat preachy in a way. Like, because of the extreme nature of the character of MC Ride, where it's just this complete, almost absurdity. Like, it keeps it legitimate for the length of the record. There's never a point where you go, like, fucking whatever. No one could possibly do this.
Right.
Which is a problem that No Love Deep Web has.
Yeah. And I'd argue that near the end of Ex-Military, kind of.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I Want It, I Need It, and Blood Creepin'.
Yeah.
But, like...
But he is this psycho... No, but he is psycho. Mm-hmm. He is not the same character. I feel like we went to that statement of basically saying that character is Blackie. I don't think that's true at all. I think mm-hmm. this guy is... I think the character through these Death Grips album is totally fucked in the head.
Right.
And that's just from maybe drugs... All these other things, all these other outside.
He's kind of listed the causes
that are involuntary, right, that are involuntary, and like that he is soaking up and that he wants. But Blackie's character does a little bit of the opposite, where it's he is grown by these like really normal basic things that just mm-hmm. really fuck you up,
right?
And I just think the characters are completely different.
Yeah, I feel kind of a personal kinship with Blackie because
yeah.
Like, the thing that is at the root of all of his anger is watching his father deteriorate from cancer, and that is totally the experience I had. So, like, and I know from my perspective there were a couple ways to go with dealing with that. I chose despair, and Blackie clearly chose rage.
Right.
And so I understand Jen on a deep level. I know exactly... like that specific well of just not understanding and wanting something more and just wanting peace but knowing that it can't happen and just this futile like last stand fucking swing at Earth. I get it. I totally get it. But
it's basically this the way we distinguish the two. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out that because that's my first step to being able to knock one out.
Right.
Is well, not being able
to. We're talking about adjectives. This
mm-hmm.
is the realest of yeah. the three.
Oh yeah, it is raw to the degree that you can't use that word for anything else anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The way Blackie describes it is sort of just like an oh fuck, I feel really bad for him,
yeah.
and then the way the money store works is that it's just like, holy shit, this person is losing it and they should get control.
Right.
I feel like Blackie's gonna come to my house if we give this to Death Grips. And like...
Dude, I bought... He has my address. That is a legit fear for me.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Like,
so,
I realized that as soon
sake.
As I bought the vinyl from him, it's like, oh, God, Blackie knows where I live now.
He doesn't okay. For John's personal safety.
Shit. He doesn't give a shit.
Oh, I just don't... I love the Money Store. I listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's better than Jen.
I think the thing that ties it all together for me is how fucking amazing Hacker is.
Right.
And
again, we're at a point where every album
but that's a personal thing,
incredibly
but that's a,
and
but
closes
that's a personal
perfectly.
Thing for me.
Right.
Like, basically, Hacker is a personal thing for me because the things that it is saying is mm-hmm. relative to the internet, but at the same time, he's also talking about legitimate local area.
Yeah.
Like, and that is... I know the first three numbers. It's like weird. This weird. I have created an anthem out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is Hacker is Sacramento in the stupidest way possible because he makes all these weird references to Tesla,
mm-hmm.
going to this Apple store, which is the Apple store they're likely referencing is the one I have bought in and gotten ripped off at several mm-hmm. times.
Yeah, there's only one Apple store in the world.
And,
yeah, no, it's the Sacramento
right. I'm
one. The Arden Fair
and
at the Arden Fair Mall.
I'm just gonna put this out there. I should have used this for the podcast intro thing, because like when we do the intro, you guys have listening at home have already heard it. And what I pulled from Death Grips was "So You Really Want to Know the Devil," and it just now occurs to me that what I probably should have pulled was "Gaga Can't Handle This Shit." Which is
yeah.
probably the best lyric I've heard all year.
Yeah.
Because, like, it takes such, like, thought. It's like, what the hell is... Like, it's the doorway into realizing, oh, wait, they're operating on this insane level.
Yeah.
Where they're just, like, separate... Like, it's not as simple as, these guys are super pissed, and they make the loudest music.
He's fucking psycho.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's the character.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it.
I feel like this is... The Money Store is more personal to Andrew, and Jen is more personal to John, and I'm sort mm-hmm. of Uatu the Watcher right now.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the Seer?
I forbid it.
We've lingered on this for
Dude,
a while.
Dude, what do you say about the Seer?
Yeah, there's...
That record's perfect. That record is perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. It is the new high watermark for albums. This is basically formality at this point. Like, I'm just trying to get a runner up.
Okay.
And then we'll entertain the idea of if the other record is better than the Seer, but I don't know, dude.
There's just so much there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're very combative records, my Storm
yeah.
Jen.
Yeah.
We've talked about them for a while.
Yeah. Oh. I'm not willing. I'm sorry. I'm not willing to back down on Jen here.
Is this my decision?
I want to hear what you have to say because I also have this weird personal effect with the Money Store where, like, I have to like live in this area where I'm at this point. Here's my living environment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this matters,
right?
But like, I live in a town that's sort of it's pretty white collar.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty conservative. A lot of the houses that exist are trying to be just something that they're not, and everyone's just living this weird. I don't want to say everyone, but it's this depressive environment that's a little too sheltered for you to call it a nice mm-hmm. place to live.
All right, so I just figured out how we can solve this. I had those guys send in those top tens for when we get to a point where we can't move further.
Okay.
So, I vote for Jen. Andrew, what is your vote between Jen and the Money Store?
I have to just lock out ex-military and No Love Deep Web from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps that those exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sort of trapped, I think. I listened to The Money Store and got more out of it for a longer space of time than I did for Blackie. Blackie was this immediate, okay, I listened to it once, and that's the way it feels. And I knew that basically after the first listen.
Yeah, I listened just to that took, it just basically
took,
weekly.
It just took reflecting on and, yeah, and understanding, but yeah, I don't know.
So Death Grips then?
I yeah.
Well, maybe
Well, no, you're not going to choose. The other two are going to choose.
Oh, okay.
You choose yours, and then we pull the other two, and then we get our answer.
I choose mine.
Death Grips?
It's the number one on my list.
All right.
I mean...
Okay. Matt chooses Blackie. So it's tied. Dan chooses Death Grips.
What in the fuck?
So the final two are Swans and Death Grips, The Money Store.
Guess what's more about the music?
Yep. There was a point in time where we had considered renaming Album of the Year from this point on to the Seer Memorial Album of the Year, because what in the hell could top it?
Yeah.
Like,
I might consider that album's all about because of all this stuff Death Grips has done, mm-hmm, but like, that's just a that's not...
Yeah.
This is like the album, realization the of everything that this that Michael Gira, yeah, is it Gira or Gira?
I believe it's Gira.
okay, I've been saying it completely wrong forever.
Yeah, everyone does. It's cool. It's
okay,
a weird name.
It's a realization of that guy's work forever. Like he had the balls to say, yeah, this is basically the best thing that
yeah,
I've
this
done.
This is the culmination of 30 years.
And he was
of
exactly
music.
Right.
Yeah, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so the argument between The Money Store for me, it's as simple as this. It's just like, The Money Store has this, it's trying to reflect some sort of outside thing. But mm-hmm, the Seer is reflecting the outside thing and the music itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, like, and it's like they've been going backwards this whole time, and they've just gotten to this primal space.
Right.
Where, like, all of it comes from, or something. I don't know. I don't... Mm-hmm.
And for what it's worth, Swans is higher on both of their lists. So, I think we're done.
Yeah, and... Yeah, from the 2 points of, like, you had to give... We had to give up Jen.
Yeah.
And also my attachment to The Money Store is partially, like, based on mm-hmm context.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's hard.
I think
it's
the hard. Seer takes it.
All right. Well, that's it. 2012 Best Album of the Year, The Seer by Swans.
Woo! Yay!
Sigh of relief. Are you angry, John?
No, I'm just relieved we're done.
That's the funniest sigh of relief I've ever heard.
I have deep lungs, dog. Alright, so tune in next time when we're not trying to, as Steven put it, shit out a trophy.
Oh, Album of the Year next year is the new My Bloody Valentine record.
Suck my dick, Halverson.